Next man up, final hour on this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman and Parker Kelly broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Fun couple hours. Mike Borgonzi speaking to the media. Lots of Titans talk to start off the show. And tomorrow, Teron Davenport going to be with us for his usual Thursday appearance. So excited for that. We will get TD's reaction to everything that Mike Borgonzi had to say. But we do have to talk some college football. The initial college football playoff rankings were released last night. Tennessee number 25 and Vanderbilt number 16. The other in-state school, and for our friend 6641, I do have to mention, Memphis would be in right now if the season ended today. Although being unranked, they would be the 12 seed, as there were no group of five teams in the top 25. So with Vanderbilt, let's start there. Number 16 in the country. I think that's about where I expected them to be, Parker. Maybe a spot or two higher, but it's about right. They were ninth in the AP poll heading into that game against Texas, and you fall down big early on. You're able to battle back, get it back within three, almost had the onside kick, but you come up short. But 16, you're in a spot where if you take care of business, you only need a couple of other teams to help you out in order to get into the playoff. And I think if you're Vanderbilt, being 16 in the initial rankings with the schedule that you have left, you feel like you still control your own destiny to get into the college football playoff at 10-2.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk to Clark Lee later today, and I'm actually going to kind of hint around that, because I do think if Vanderbilt were to win out and you have a 10-2 Vanderbilt team, and you actually hear this on the intro, a 10-2 SEC team should not be left out.
Right. That, I mean, you hear it once an hour on my show every single day of, if you're 10-2 as an SEC school, you're in.
Right. And I did some research, and I looked, and I looked at the toughest strength of schedules in the country, and the top 30, inside the top 30, are represented all 16 SEC teams.
Yeah.
So if you compare the strength of schedule from a 10-2 Vanderbilt to, let's say, hypothetically, an 11-2 Georgia Tech or an 11-2 BYU, I think I would give the edge to Vanderbilt. And that's why the SEC is moving to 9 conference games, because the committee is emphasizing strength of schedule.
Yes. And the SEC, the reason you look at this with Vanderbilt and you feel a little bit unsure is because the SEC has been so strong. You got 6 of the top 12 are SEC teams. Right now, Texas and Oklahoma would be the first two teams out because of the auto bids. Virginia would be the 11 seed as the highest-ranked ACC team, and then Memphis, the group of five representative. The one thing that I think does not bode well for Vanderbilt is that Notre Dame is 10th. And a 6-2 Notre Dame being 10th with the schedule that they have left makes me think that if it's 10-2 Notre Dame versus 10-2 Vanderbilt, they would go with the Fighting Irish. And we talked about it last week of you match up those resumes. So let's say Notre Dame ends up 10-2, Vanderbilt wins out their 10-2. Your two losses would be, for Notre Dame, Miami, who is now a two-loss team likely going to miss out on the playoff, and Texas A&M, who's undefeated, likely will be in the playoff. For Vanderbilt, it'll probably be Alabama, who could get a bye in the playoff, maybe your eventual SEC champion, and Texas, who I think if Vanderbilt is going to make the playoff, Texas can't make the playoff. So you match up those resumes with Vanderbilt's wins all coming against an SEC schedule and Notre Dame's wins. Yeah, you beat USC, but most of their wins are coming against the bottom half of the ACC. I would give Vandy the edge. But clearly, the College Football Playoff Committee is valuing Notre Dame a little bit higher than I would right now.
And this is why I refer to as logo scouting, because when you do these rankings week to week, you really shouldn't be trying to project or predict anything, because I think most people would take Notre Dame if they played Vanderbilt tomorrow. But if you're looking at the resume, I agree 100%. And that's going to be the case with Miami, it's going to be the case with Utah, it's going to be the case with Texas and Oklahoma, because if you're comparing the two, Notre Dame, yeah, they lost two games by a combined 4 points to Miami, who's the 18th ranked team, and Texas A&M, who's third, but they lost the game. And losing has to account for something in the regular season, and their best win is USC.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Texas and Oklahoma both have two losses, but have arguably better wins. Oklahoma has a win over Tennessee on the road in Neyland. They have a win over Michigan. Texas has a they just beat Vanderbilt, and they have a win over Oklahoma. That's more impressive.
Right. And Texas and Oklahoma would be out right now. Vandy will have to leapfrog both of those teams if they're going to get into the playoff, which I think is probably something that you shouldn't be as worried about if you're Vanderbilt, because Oklahoma still plays Alabama. If they lose that game, they're probably out. You know, they could beat Alabama, but I would pick the Tide the way they're playing right now. And with Texas, they still have to play Georgia and Texas A&M, who are two of the top five teams in the country. The odds they win both of those games, relatively low. So if Vanderbilt's able to win out, I think you pass both of those teams. BYU and Texas Tech play this weekend. And do you agree with me, Parker, that I think Vandy should be big BYU fans this week? Because you would much rather the Big 12 champ just run away with it. Like, have an undefeated BYU and run away with it and have two-loss Texas Tech and two-loss Utah battling to try and get in as an at-large team. Because I think Vandy's resume, if you go and beat Tennessee in Neyland, ends up stacking up better than what a 10-2 Texas Tech or a 10-2 Utah could bring.
Here's the best-case scenario for Vanderbilt. There's actually two of them. BYU runs the table and wins out and wins the whole thing.
Right.
Because at that point, the Big 12 would not be a two-bid league.
Yes.
Or Texas Tech were to beat BYU. And BYU, they also play Cincinnati in, I believe, 2 weeks. And
yeah,
they were to lose that one.
Right.
So those are probably the best-case scenarios for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, the last thing you want is two 11-1 Big 12 teams. Because 11 wins, no matter what your strength of schedule is, we saw it with Indiana last year, 11-1, it's tough to leave an 11-win team in a power conference out of the playoff. And so Vandy needs as few 11-win teams from the ACC and the Big 12 as possible. The ACC imploding this weekend was huge for Vandy, because it looked like heading into the week that you were pretty sure that the ACC could be a two-bid league, and honestly, maybe even a three-bid league if things broke the right way. If Georgia Tech won out, except for losing to Georgia, and Miami won out, missed the ACC championship game, Virginia wins out, there was still a chance of a three-bid ACC. Now I think that is completely gone, and likely you're only getting a one-bid ACC, barring chaos, where Georgia Tech beats Georgia and Virginia still wins the ACC championship. Like, I think that's the only chance you have at a multi-bid ACC. So that threat is mostly gone. Vanderbilt going to need the Big 12 to work out, and then you need some fellow SEC teams to lose. You need Texas and Oklahoma both to lose another game.
And if you look at their upcoming schedules,
right,
it's very likely.
Yes. So for Vanderbilt, you need help. You do need help. But I think a 10-2 Vanderbilt, with the lasting impression being made on the committee being a win at Tennessee, which way easier said than done. Tennessee is a high-powered offense, and they are tough to beat in Neyland. But Vandy could be playing for a playoff spot, Tennessee likely not playing for much in that game. Vandy, you win that game, that's the last look the committee gets at you, is going into your rival stadium and winning. I think that gives you a very good chance to get in, as long as a couple of things break your way. You need Texas and Oklahoma to lose another game, and you need the Big 12 not to end up with a bunch of teams still towards the top of the rankings. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Ben asks, any chance a three-loss team gets in? I would say no. This year, last year, it was really close. You could have gone either way on SMU and Alabama, and I think it was a razor's edge and the idea of not punishing a team that lost in their conference championship game that got SMU in. Last year, 9-3 gave you a chance. I don't think 9-3. You're not holding a watch party at 9-3 this year.
I think there are, because I did my playoff predictions with Frazier yesterday, and I actually had a 9-3 team squeaking in there as the 11, the last at-large spot. I think there is a small, very small chance, but it only comes down to two teams, and that would be Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because Oklahoma plays at Alabama this week, but then they finish the season with Missouri and LSU. Texas has to go to Georgia, and then they finish the season with A&M.
Yeah.
If they were to split that, and Oklahoma was to presumably lose to Alabama but beat Missouri, beat LSU, I think the resume would be better than some of the 10-2. And November brings chaos. So if BYU were to lose two, I would honestly take Oklahoma or Texas over.
Right.
BYU.
And we have this conversation every week about there's so much football left to be played, and would anyone have guessed that Miami was going to lose to SMU this week and Georgia Tech was going to lose to NC State? No. So plenty of things could happen. Vandy could come out flat against Auburn this weekend, and boom, the conversation's over. But I think for Vandy, you feel good facing Auburn and Kentucky at home these next 2 weeks to give you a chance going into Neyland. Justin from Greenbrier says, this is what I hate about Vandy going and playing flat against Texas. I knew this was going to be the case because of the history and bias of Vanderbilt. They need to route Auburn and Kentucky these next two home games, and even if they play UT close, they should get in. If they don't, the fans are going to want to riot against this committee. And I agree.
9-3. Are we talking about 9-3 Vanderbilt?
I don't know if that's what Justin's saying.
I hope that's not what he's saying.
9-3 is not going to get Vandy in. And it's tough because I think there are going to be years in a 12-team playoff where 9-3 does get you in. But this is not that year. 10-2 should get Vandy in. And if the committee leaves them out, that's going to be really a tough pill to swallow for Vanderbilt fans. Ricky on the text line says, Vandy loses by two scores in Neyland. Nothing else is going to matter. I mean, Ricky, I hear what you're saying. Neyland's a tough place to play, and could Vandy lose by two scores in Knoxville? For sure. But, like, it's not like the Vols have been beaten up on everybody that they've been playing. Even a lot of their wins have been by a razor's edge. I mean, you had to go to overtime to beat Mississippi State. You only beat Arkansas by three at home. Like, Vandy going into Neyland and winning, yes, it's their toughest game left on their schedule, but it's very possible that Vanderbilt wins that game. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue to react to the college football playoff rankings on the other side. A couple other things that we want to talk about. We'll talk about Tennessee a little bit. And also, Vandy's game this weekend against Auburn. Hugh Freeze is fired. Maybe an interim coach bump for the Tigers coming to Nashville. We'll talk about it next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly alongside you on this Wednesday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to chime in. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Couple texts on the text line. 7070 says Tennessee, and this is Alan, Tennessee has not beat a team with a winning record. I have no idea what they are hanging their hat on other than some close losses. Will from Clarksville says something similar. How can Tennessee fans be so cocky after losing to a guy wearing short shorts? I think Tennessee fans are, they're a little bit too confident about this Vandy game based on historically what they've done in this rivalry, right? Like, Tennessee has been the better football program for a very long time against Vanderbilt. But looking at this season, I think it's hard to make the argument that Vanderbilt hasn't been the better football team in 2025. And that's not to say that Tennessee can't beat them in Neyland, because Tennessee is still very talented, and that is one of the hardest places to go win in all of college football. I'm not picking Vanderbilt to win. I think Tennessee will be favored in that game. But I think Vanderbilt has been the better football team this year. And that's going to be the make-or-break game for this Vanderbilt football game team, as long as they can take care of business at home. And these next two games, with a bye week in between against Auburn and Kentucky, these are like the... Parker, are you a golfer?
I enjoy playing.
Okay, this is like that five-foot putt for par that you should make, but it's a knee knocker, right? It's one of those where it's not a tap-in. You got to step up and you got to knock it down. And Vandy, again, they should win these games. I think they're a touchdown favorite against Auburn. they're probably going to be a touchdown or more favored against Kentucky here on West End. But those are not, it's an SEC game. You're not playing Charleston Southern. You have to go out and you got to perform and you got to win those games. Can you put yourself in the position to go to Neyland with a chance to get to 10 wins? And I've said it before, again, in the open, 10 wins is an SEC school, you're in. That may not be, it may not be true this year, but 10 wins, it gets you in a position to host a watch party and sit down thinking you've got a chance. And that's all you can ask for if you're Vandy. And yes, it would be devastating to win out and go 10-2 and then get left out of the playoff. But right now, Vandy can't control that. All Vandy can control is getting to 10-2. You've got to be able to step up, knock down these five-footers for par against Auburn and Kentucky over the next 3 weeks. And I do like that there's a bye week in between there, because I think Vandy's going to be fired up for this game. You're coming off a loss where you came out flat, you got punched in the mouth, and you almost dug your way out of it to have a chance on the road against Texas. I think Vandy is going to come out ready to play against Auburn. And then you get the bye week to avoid kind of that trap game feeling of, okay, we did it against Auburn, we'll be fine against Kentucky. I think the bye week allows you to reset and refocus for those final two games of the season. Saturday is going to be fun against Auburn. We'll get into that matchup coming up in the next segment. Ricky said, Vandy isn't going to put up the 40 points needed to win. Well, I mean, Tennessee's defense hasn't been all that good this year. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't Vanderbilt averaging like 40 points a game this season? Let's see. Points per game. Vanderbilt is averaging 37.6 points per game. So, you know, Tennessee's averaging 43. Give them credit for that. But they are also giving up a good amount as well. If I can get my computer to load here. Tennessee giving up 31 points per game. So I think it's very possible Vandy could put up 40 points in that game. But Tennessee's offense obviously is very capable of doing the same. Dustin from Hopkinsville, our resident Wildcats fan, says UK is a trap game. And it could be. It very well could be. Kentucky got their first SEC win this past weekend, correct? I was in and out
their
on...
their first one.
There we go. I
held Auburn to 3 points, had them in hell the entire game.
I got to say, it was very tough to follow college football out there in Paris on Saturday. Like, it was nice on Sunday. We didn't have much going on Sunday night with the game the next day, so I was able to settle in and pay attention to the Titans game, which started at 7 o'clock local time. But on Saturday, I paid attention to the Vandy game. I was actually listening to Andrew Allegretta for the most part out there in Paris. But the Tennessee game started at 2:30 in the morning. It's like, I'm sorry, I'm not staying up for that. I wish I could. Joey from Gallatin says, when Tennessee is running on all cylinders, they kept up with Georgia the majority of that game. It's going to be a great game regardless. And I agree 100%. I think Tennessee, when they get things clicking, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that is going to be a tough team to stop. And I said, I think Tennessee is going to be favored in that game. But to act like Vandy has no chance to go into Neyland and win with a playoff spot on the line is insane. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keegan is on the line wanting to talk some Memphis Tigers. Keegan, thanks for calling. What you got?
All right, guys. I know probably the majority of your demographic don't care to talk about the Tigers. But, Jake, you gave me a huge shout-out earlier, and I greatly appreciate that, my man. The Tigers are doing great, guys. I'm going to force y'all to listen a little bit of it just because we're in Tennessee, and why not? At the moment, we're the only playoff-bound in Tennessee, so you kind of got to take it a little
bit,
man. That is
true.
We went out. We got Brendan Lewis from Nevada out of the transfer portal, threw a little NIL money out of his way. We brought in Cortez Branham, a wide receiver who's been our wide receiver one and a true difference maker all year. And Ryan Silverfield, as he's done for the past few years, has taken this team, set a standard and expectation, and elevated it for the next year. And that's exactly what's happening here, guys. And, you know, I know at the moment we're not really ranked in the top 25, so it's kind of a joke for Memphis to be in the playoffs to an extent. But at the same time, hey, we're in there, and for all the Vandy and Tennessee talk I got to listen to as a Tigers fan, y'all got to deal with Memphis being the best team in the state, and I just don't know what to tell y'all about that. It's just a fact of life at this point, you know what I mean? All right, that's really all I got. Just want to throw all that out there. Let's go Tigers, man. And I really appreciate you, fellas.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Keegan. Appreciate you listening, and we'll give a shout-out to Memphis. Yes, they are the only in-state team currently in the field of 12 after the first college football playoff rankings.
Listen, I have no bitter ill will towards Memphis. I know a lot of Nashvillians do. I will be happy if Memphis makes the playoff, but Keegan made the point that I wanted to make. And actually, I saw this from Danny Cannell, which I rarely agree with Danny Cannell, but he said if a group of five team isn't ranked in the top 12, I'll even go further to say if they're not ranked in the top 15, why should they make the playoff just because they're the best group of five?
It's fair. And I think that concession was made by the power conference teams basically to just get everybody on board. But the winner of the American almost certainly is going to get in. Right now, six teams with only one loss in the American. So Memphis, yes, Memphis right now would get that spot. They're 8-1, but still a long way to go. And that American championship game going to be a big decider of who ends up being almost certainly the 12 seed in the playoffs at the end of the year. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's preview Auburn and Vanderbilt on the other side. We'll have more to talk about throughout the week on this game, but I wanted to talk some Hugh Freeze. Another SEC job is opened up. A quarter of the SEC teams have made a coaching change midseason now this year. So we'll talk a little bit about Hugh Freeze's firing and maybe if it had to do with playing Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt this weekend. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. You're on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Chase and Big Joe coming up after us at the top of the hour. Talking some college football here at the end of the show. Mike Borgonzi spoke to the media earlier today. We reacted. There will be plenty more reaction throughout the day on the station from Chase and Joe and DVD at 3 o'clock. Vandy taking on Auburn this weekend. I'm doing sideline for that game on Saturday. The men's basketball team for Vandy is in Orlando, so Kevin Ingram will be down there. So I will be roaming the sidelines for the first time as Vandy takes on Auburn. This is an interesting one. Auburn, clearly talented team. They have not played very well and that was very evident this past weekend, only putting up 3 points in that loss that eventually ended up getting Hugh Freeze let go. And I kind of jokingly say that maybe Auburn wanted to let Hugh Freeze go before he could fall to 0-4 against Diego Pavia this weekend. He lost to him at Liberty when Diego was with New Mexico State. Then Diego, still at New Mexico State, beat Hugh Freeze in his first year at Auburn. And then last year, Vandy went down to the Plains and beat Auburn again. Low-scoring game, 17-7, I believe, was the final in that game a year ago. Got Vandy bowl eligible. I think this will be a low-scoring game again, but I feel pretty good about Vandy's chances against this Auburn team. I know the interim coach bump is always talked about. We've talked about it a lot this year because of how many midseason firings there have been. The main one around here, Brian Callahan with the Titans at the NFL level, but plenty of firings at the college level. And Hugh Freeze getting let go from Auburn, now the fourth SEC job that is open, joining Florida, LSU, and Arkansas. I don't know if the interim coach bump is going to be much of a factor here, but you do have to think about maybe Auburn does have a little extra juice this weekend after their head coach was let go on Sunday.
Yeah, and what's unfortunate about Auburn is what led to Hugh Freeze's downfall was the fact that he was never able to get quarterback right. He started with Peyton Thorne his first 2 years, then he went in the transfer portal, took a big risk getting Jackson Arnold, and obviously that wasn't the right move. But you look at the rest of the roster and Cam Coleman, who's a former five-star receiver, and Eric Singleton, who was the number one ranked receiver in the transfer portal from Georgia Tech. The defense is really good. The offensive line is solid. So it really boils down to quarterback. So if you have the right guy calling plays, which I'm not sure who's going to be their interim play caller, they may get a little bit of a bump, but that doesn't discount from the fact that Vanderbilt's at home and they should be able to take care of business after losing to Texas last week.
Is it DJ Durkin who's going to be calling plays for them?
DJ Durkin calls the defensive plays because he's defensive
coordinator. Gotcha.
But he is the interim head coach.
I saw that name pop up as the interim head coach, and I did not know who was going to be calling plays there. So, yeah, this is a big one. And Auburn, there is some pride involved in when your head coach gets fired of going out there and trying to get a win. But Vanderbilt knows what's in front of them, right? We just went through all the scenarios of 10-2 gets you in the conversation. 9-3, you really don't have a shot. So all of these are must-win games the rest of the way. And Auburn's the first one. You get a bye week after. You've got to show up and you've got to play your best football. I hate it for Vandy that they couldn't pull off that win against Texas over the weekend, because, man, that onside kick, I was listening, and initially they signaled Vanderbilt football. And so I'm listening to Andrew Allegretta, and he says, Vandy football. And we were at a dinner with the team, and everybody's going crazy. And then we hear that they said that Langston Patterson was out of bounds, and just, you know, the air gets taken out of the room. Because you win that game, and not only does winning out ensure your spot in the playoff, but you still feel like you've got some leeway to slip up, and you might still have a chance. That leeway is gone. All of these are must wins the rest of the way. And that Auburn this weekend, maybe you see a little bit more fight now that Hugh Freeze is gone. I'm not so sure. I think Vandy is going to take care of business, but going to be a fun one this weekend. And there are a lot of Auburn fans around here. I would expect there are going to be a lot of Tigers fans in the stadium on Saturday. That's the one fan base that always surprises me, how many of them live here. Have you seen that before, Parker? Of like, it, obviously going to be a lot of Tennessee, a lot of Vandy fans, but I would say maybe the next is Auburn of fans here in Nashville.
Yeah, no, I feel like there are always in Nashville, a central location of the South, you're going to get a widespread variety of SEC fans, Auburn included, because they're pretty close. I don't know how far Auburn is from here.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's. I don't know if it's super drivable. I mean, it's obviously drivable. It's in the South, but like Tuscaloosa is closer than Auburn. But yes, plenty of Auburn fans here, and I'm sure that they will be out there at First Bank Stadium. But Vandy fans have shown up. They were great for that Missouri game. The crowd pop on the MK Young 80-yard touchdown was electric a couple of weeks ago. And again, big one coming up this weekend, 3 p.m. kickoff over at First Bank Stadium. Vanderbilt taking on Auburn. Commodores 7-2. Need a win to keep their college football playoff hopes alive. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We got one more segment on this Wednesday. Well, let's get to your phones. If you've got anything for us, Vanderbilt, college football, Titans, 615-737-1025. Get them in here, and we'll get to those on the other side. Also, maybe some more reaction to Mike Borgonzi's press conference earlier today. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday. We'll wrap up the show next here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Final segment on this Wednesday, Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Chasing Big Joe coming up next, live from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Plenty of reaction, I'm sure, to Mike Borgonzi's press conference earlier today. Again, tomorrow, Teron Davenport will be with us for his usual Thursday appearance on the program, so we'll get all of TD's thoughts on what Borgonzi had to say, the Titans' trade deadline moves, and what they're looking at heading into the bye week. Mercifully, we've made it to the bye week, and so we'll get all of TD's thoughts tomorrow on the program. Andrew Allegretta will also join at 11:30 to talk some more Vanderbilt football. I said we might react to Borgonzi a little bit more, but I had a thought during the break, and we were talking about Hugh Freeze being fired at Auburn, and this coaching carousel, as has been said a ton over the last few weeks, is going to be maybe the craziest of all time. You've got Penn State open. You've got four SEC jobs, including LSU and Florida are open. Now you've got Auburn and Arkansas out there too. And, you know, having gone to Virginia Tech, grown up a Hokie, that job has been getting a lot of buzz in the last couple of days. James Franklin, the rumors were hot and heavy that Franklin was going to be coming to Blacksburg. And the more I think about it, the fact that we haven't heard anything is starting to make me think that Auburn job opening up might have thrown a wrench in all of this, that Auburn fired Hugh Freeze and their first call may have been to Jimmy Sexton about James Franklin to see if he would want to come down to the Plains instead of Blacksburg. And, you know, I don't know what Virginia Tech's going to do if they come up empty on Franklin, because I think he was far and away the home run hire that they could have gotten in this cycle. And I don't think they're going to be in play for a guy like John Sumrall, maybe Alex Golish, but I think he might have better offers on the table. I think you end up having to go to like a Bob Chesney from JMU if James Franklin doesn't end up coming through. So that Auburn job opening when it did might have been the worst time possible for Virginia Tech, because I think if it waited another week for Hugh Freeze to be let go, I think James Franklin may have already been announced as the next Virginia Tech head coach. Instead, I'm sure there's a bidding war going on for his services as maybe not the most sought-after candidate on the coaching market, but certainly up there with what he's been able to do at Penn State over the last 12 years.
So you mentioned John Sumrall, and I actually think if Auburn should go after anybody, it should be him. I think he should be number one on the list for Auburn because he's an Alabama guy. Auburn really doesn't need somebody to – they just need somebody who knows football and a good football coach, and John Sumrall is that. What Hugh Freeze got in trouble with was the play calling.
Yeah.
I think he was able to get away. I think what really boosted his resume was the fact that he was able to beat Nick Saban a couple of times at Ole Miss with Bo Wallace. But outside of that, and Chad Kelly. But outside of that, play calling was very questionable for him this year. And I think John Sumrall is one of the best up-and-coming, just straight-up football guys. And he has Alabama ties. So I think that should be number one on their list.
Well, that's the question for some of these SEC programs, is do you go with more of a proven commodity like James Franklin, who has done it at a high level? He went to the college football playoff semifinals a year ago. But you also have the question marks of, is he ever going to eclipse what he's already done at Penn State? Will he ever be able to win a national title? Which, for these SEC programs, with the exception of Arkansas, I think the expectations at LSU, Florida, and Auburn are to eventually be in that national championship conversation every year. So James Franklin maybe isn't a fit there. I don't know. You could also look at Lane Kiffin. I think his name is obviously going to be floated out there, especially for that LSU and Florida
job. He's
up
for like 75 jobs right now.
I mean, and at the very worst, he's going to get a huge raise at Ole Miss. Like, Lane Kiffin is the winner of this coaching carousel for sure, because he's either going to get a super high-paying new job at LSU or Florida where, you know, Ole Miss has resources for sure, but they're not LSU and they're not Florida. And I think Lane Kiffin, I think he does leave. Am I sure about that? No, but I think he does end up leaving. Either way, though, he's the winner because he's going to get paid a ton of money either to stay or to go. But you do ask the question for some of these programs, or do you want a guy who you may already know his ceiling in James Franklin? And quite honestly, I think you kind of know Lane Kiffin's ceiling too. Maybe he eventually breaks through and gets to the national championship at a program like an LSU. But he's been a head coach at the college level for a very, very long time. Like, is he just gonna suddenly break through and become Nick Saban? I'm not so sure about that. So that's the question marks you ask with that. Do you go with an up-and-comer like a John Sumrall or an Alex Golish who, yeah, maybe don't have the experience at the power conference level, but you don't know what the ceiling is for those guys. And maybe when they get to a spot with those kinds of resources, they can flourish into one of the top coaches in the entire country. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 2349 says James Franklin is 15-30 against top 25 teams at Penn State, 4-21 against top 10, 1-15 against top 5, so on and so forth. He says, yes, he went to the semifinals, but why is he so sought after? I agree for some of these big name programs, like I was talking about LSU and Florida, like they want to win national championships. Do they believe James Franklin can do that? I don't think so. And I think that's why they haven't been mentioned as a potential James Franklin landing spot over the last few weeks. But for Virginia Tech, getting to where James Franklin had Penn State is a dream. That's exactly what Frank Beamer did for them for 20 years. Like, you're on the doorstep, you can never quite get there. I think Virginia Tech fans, you know, I went there, I think would sign up for that in a heartbeat. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland has called in. Adam, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Well, I was just going to let you be, but then you're talking about Kiffin leaving. I think you're absolutely right, dude. And I think his legacy is going to be that he was loyal to no one ever in his life. So, like, that's – I mean, I've got family. Like, we're from Mississippi. Like, all my family's from Mississippi, and they love him. And I'm like, well, we loved him for a year until he did us how Lane does people. And he's going to do Ole Miss the same way, I have no doubt. He finds a better job, he's going to be out of there. And I'm just waiting to watch it, man. Like, I got the popcorn. I'm going to hate him no matter where he goes, no matter what. Like, but I think his legacy above being a pretty good offensive coach is that he has no loyalty to anybody.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Adam. He has been a guy who uses jobs as stepping stones. And that's why I'm pretty confident he's going to leave, because has he shown in the past that he's going to stick around when a better opportunity's out there? No. And I'm guessing he will be announced as the next head coach at LSU, right? Like, that, it makes too much sense for him not to be the number one guy at LSU and for him not to want to make that move. Now, they can't announce anything until after the season, right? Like, this may be one of those situations where the handshake agreement has already been made. You look back at the last college basketball season, and, you know, there's nothing confirmed from this with Darian DeVries at West Virginia, but the coincidence that they were at an MTE at the same time as Indiana, and right after that, DeVries' son, Tucker, stopped playing with an injury and was able to redshirt still, and then right after the season, he takes the Indiana job. Like, sometimes those things do happen, but you can't announce it until after the season. I wouldn't be shocked if that's already happened with Lane Kiffin and LSU. But with Ole Miss right in the thick of the playoff race, you obviously can't have that come out right now because Lane knows that he still has a duty to those kids to see this season through and see what they can do in the postseason.
Right, and I honestly think Lane, a lot of people hate Lane Kiffin because Adam's right. He hasn't really ever showed loyalty at any point in his coaching career. But if you watch the documentary, he seems on the outside like a changed person. So I foresee Lane, if he does plan on leaving, which I would say LSU and Florida are both better jobs right now than Ole Miss. But honestly, in this age of NIL and transfer portal, if it is a better job, it's not by much, because I do think you can still win a national championship in this day and age at Ole Miss. But I think if he is going to leave, he will stick it out this season, because, I mean, if you look at the remaining schedule, I don't see a world in which they lose another game before they get to the playoff.
They're going to the playoff, and how far do they go? I don't know. The parity does seem increased this year, but I don't think they are at that top level right now. Like, I think if you match them up with Ohio State in the playoffs, whether that's in the quarterfinals or something like that, I think they lose that game, and I don't know if it's down to the wire. But with Lane Kiffin, he did say that he's never made a decision with money in mind, and I actually do believe him in that, right? Because I think the money's going to be about equal between Ole Miss and LSU. Like, Ole Miss is not some beggar program that doesn't have the money to pay Lane Kiffin. Like, they can pay him. I don't think it's going to be about the money. I think it's about where he feels like he has the resources to go win. And LSU, for all of its faults, and, you know, obviously it didn't work out with Brian Kelly, I think you're hard-pressed to find a program across the country outside of maybe Alabama or Ohio State that is going to give more resources to football than LSU.
Right. I would argue that LSU is the best job in America. It would be hard for me to say no to that.
Right. And you've got a new president, a new athletic director. Like, I think it makes too much sense. If I had to guess, I think Lane Kiffin ends up being the head coach at LSU. I would think Florida maybe goes for John Sumrall. And then Auburn's the mystery one, because Auburn, again, they've got the money. They've got the pedigree to go out and get an elite coach that they think can get this program back to being relevant at the top of the SEC. Do they want a James Franklin, who, again, more proven, but can he take the next step? Or do you go for an up-and-comer like an Alex Golish or something like that to come there? Going to be a heck of a coaching carousel. It already is. There's tons of high-profile jobs already open. There could be more coming. And every job that gets filled, another one opens up. So lots to look forward to as we make our way down the stretch of the college football season. Been a fun show today. Again, Mike Borgonzi spoke at 10 a.m., almost 30 full minutes from the Titans general manager. I thought it was one of the best press conferences that the Titans franchise has had in a long time to at least share some sort of vision for what they want to do to build this roster back up to being competitive. I thought he was honest. I thought he was relatively open for what he could speak about. And we'll have plenty more reaction on the station with that throughout the day. And again, Teron Davenport on the show tomorrow. We'll get TD's thoughts on everything that Borgonzi had to say today. And again, all the moves the Titans made leading up to the trade deadline. It was great to be back from France. I will be back tomorrow and moving forward. Excited for tomorrow's show. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next with plenty more reaction here on 102.5 The Game.